When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi there, and welcome to Oaktown Boys, Season 3, Episode 9.
Nueve.
How's it going, Corey?
It's going okay. I kind of feel like I'm not super tuned into the baseball world this week, so it's something I can work on for next week.
It's, yeah, you know, I mean, it's, if we're... If there's any fan base right now that has an excuse to be not super clued into every single moment of every single game, I think it's us. And we still know what's happening.
Oh, yeah.
I'm aware of what's going on with the A's. I'm just not hurting myself by exposing myself to all of it.
Yeah, we're resorting to a certain level of mental health protection at this point. Yeah, you know, not to say that there wasn't anything good going on, but let's run down the quick weekly recap. If you will recall, we recorded a week ago and we talked about how the A's have been winning one game per calendar week. They finally broke that mold.
Yep.
They did get swept by the Mariners, so it wasn't looking out great to start. But then the Royals came to town, and or no, the A's went to the Royals town. And the Royals, at the time, were the only other team even close to the terrible record the A's had. I think it was 7-26 versus 8-25 going into that series, something around that. And I think for a brief moment the A's won two in a row and either tied or had the upper hand in terms of worst record in baseball. Didn't last long. They lost game three, and the Royals have since won a couple more. But the A's finally won a series. I think we can focus on that for
totally.
A lot of this episode.
For it, seeing as it's, is it the first time it's happened all year?
First time it's happened all year.
So we can talk about it for as long as we want.
First time we've won back-to-back games, a lot of firsts. The A's won handily, 12-8. I guess could have been better. They did give up 8 runs in the later innings. But the offense, as we've talked about, is not too shabby. Brent Rooker's leading the way. He hit his 10th home run in that game.
And it was another bomb.
It was another bomb. Ramon Laureano also homered in that game. They went back-to-back, didn't they?
They did.
Second game we've had some back-to-back action this year.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan Nota continues to hit, had 3 hits. The top three in the order, Ruiz, Nota, and Rooker, each had 3 hits. Love to see that. They each scored multiple runs. Nota had a couple of walks and no strikeouts. Man, his on-base numbers are just fantastic.
Yeah, he might be over 4 now, right? He's got to be close at least.
We'll have to check that out.
But yeah, man, I mean, the first 5 guys in the order.
Oh,
Ruiz had 3 hits.
Yep. Nota's
at, Nota had 3 hits.
Nota's at 4.
Rooker
12.
Had 3 hits. Laureano homered. J.J. Bleday went 2-for-3 with the walk.
Bleday. Oh,
you know?
God, what a great first week Bleday's having.
Yes. Everything we could have hoped for, and also everything that we told you might happen on this podcast. Yep. So, you know, do with that what you will.
Circling back to Ryan Nota before we forget. 412 on base, 855 OPS. Yeah, I mean, just imagine if he actually starts, like, hitting. He's only hitting 239.
Yeah.
Over his last 7, though, it's been up around 300.
Yeah, and I mean, last, what is that, last 260, last 15? That's fine.
He's definitely trending in the right direction, and I think, as everyone will attest, he certainly looks the part out there, and especially at the plate when it comes to his discipline.
I mean, if you were going to tell me that, if I would have just watched Ryan Nota played, I would have been shocked to hear that he was a Rule 5 pick.
Absolutely.
You know,
the only way it makes sense is when you get told he was on the Dodgers.
Well, and also, yeah, everybody. Like, admittedly, he's not better than Freddie Freeman, but he's good. And we need good players. So that worked out nicely for us.
Oh, this was a momentous occasion because it was the first win by a starting pitcher the A's had all year.
Yep.
Which is just freaking crazy to say.
Bananas.
Yeah, Kyle Muller got his first win. He, I guess he earned it. I mean, can't take it away from him, but he tried to give it back. Yeah. Gave up 5 earned runs, 5 1/3. Only struck out 1. He's not striking people out the way we might have thought he would. Walked 3.
Pitched better than Fuji.
Pitched better than Fuji, who gave up 3 earned runs and 3 walks in 1/3 of an inning that day.
You know, he's, at least as of this day, and I remember thinking this looking at the box score that night, 13.5 is like one of those ERAs that you see very, very frequently early in the year. You know, when somebody has like a bad outing, give up like, you know, whatever, like what is it, like 5 runs right. in 4 innings or something like that. This is one of the more legit 13.5 ERAs I've ever seen. He's given up 13.5 runs every 9 innings, and he's done it a couple times.
He's done it in 20 innings pitched now.
Yeah. He's there are a lot of things trending in the right direction, honestly, especially considering where we were. Fuji's not one of them.
How much did we spend on that guy? Was it like $10 million or was it less?
I don't know off the top of my head, honestly.
Well, it's not worth it so far.
He's been stinking. But he hasn't been the only one, so we can't heap it all on him. Anyway, next game.
So the A's won. And
12-8.
Yeah.
The offense continues to hum. And Estuary Reese, 3 hits, 2 stolen bases. We'll talk more about that later, but he is starting to look the part a little bit.
It's nice to see they tacked on those 3 late runs to seal the deal, something they have not been doing at all. Next game, A's win again, 5-4. Ken Waldichuk got the win. We got 2 wins in a row. How did that slip by me? He went 5 innings, gave up 4 earned, walked 6, struck out 6. Pretty ugly performances to somehow get the win on. The starters were on a pretty good roll until that point, so I guess luck was just on their side, I guess. They did just enough, though. Outscored the Royals by 1. They don't like outscoring people as much as we would like as to see as fans. Bleday kept hitting. Noda kept hitting.
Yeah, Bleday with, what, his second homer on the year?
That's right. And these are very hard hit balls.
Yeah.
Love to see the ball jumping off his bat. Ruiz with another stolen base.
Incredible.
Yeah, not a bad outing by the boys.
He is 50 wouldn't be crazy at all.
Not at all.
If not more.
Basically 1 month through the season, and he's almost to 20.
Yeah. I think he's at 17 as we sit here right now. So he's going, and he is fast. He is very fast.
Sadly, the A's did not sweep the series. It's looking pretty good, actually. Mason Miller was going to the mound with the chance for the sweep and pitched okay, better than the last two guys. Went 6, but got tagged with a loss, giving up 2 earned, walking 1, striking out 5. Fujinami came in and really opened the door for the Royals. Another bad outing. 1 1/3, 3 earned runs. Not sure how much longer the Fuji experiment is going to last. I suppose there's not a lot to lose, but
he has been so bad.
He's just been so bad. The splitter looks so good. Everything else, not so great. Especially the command issues.
Yes.
And the A's just couldn't get going. Yarbrough was pitching great. There's the very unfortunate mishap. Ryan Noda hit a ball right back at Yarbrough, hit him in the face. We're thinking the best thoughts, and as far as we can tell by the internet, he's doing okay.
Yeah, they said multiple broken bones, but otherwise,
he's alive.
And I mean, I think, you know, watching the game, that was a given. That would mean it was there. I knew he broke bones.
Oh, absolutely.
I was just hoping beyond hope that that was it, and it seems to be that was it. So, Ryan Yarbrough, if you're listening, we're very sorry that happened to you, but we're very happy that it wasn't worse.
Yeah. That was kind of a surreal moment. I actually remember thinking, like, the inning before, just like looking at babyface Mason Miller and like, man, what if this dude took a ball off his face? Like, I feel so bad for him. And then lo and behold, the next inning, it happens. I pretty much immediately turned the game off because I just didn't want to watch everything that was about to unfold.
Yeah.
So that was not ugly. I mean, not pretty. Just a lot of bad things happen around Ace baseball this year.
Yes, it's
was
true.
This the game where we had the unfortunate Glenn Kiper mishap?
I think it might have been. Which, you know, it happened. Glenn said a word on the broadcast that you should not say ever, anywhere, in any situation. And we know the fallout hasn't exactly happened yet. We don't know exactly whether Glenn's going to be around. So for a number of reasons, we're not going to say much about that. We obviously disagree with the use of the word, and there's never a place for it. It didn't seem super purposeful, but also doesn't really matter. So, you know, we'll talk about that more later. It's still kind of in limbo right now. But yeah, I mean, if it offended anyone, completely understandable, and there's no place for it. So, the general belief is seemed to think it was an accident, but kind of a weird accident, you know.
Yep, and even accidents have repercussions. So yeah. We'll see if he ever comes back.
Yeah, it seems like he didn't mean to, but that also doesn't really matter.
Right.
So
it's like when you accidentally hit somebody with your car. Like, oh, sorry. Well,
it's true.
Still got to pay for the damages.
Yeah, and also, like, I believe that you're sorry, but it also still happened. So, yeah. You know. Anyway, I...
So that happened.
That happened. Not a great day of baseball all around.
We're thankful that there's a man like Dallas Braden there to weather the storm and deal with the situation. Seems like it's definitely affecting him negatively for sure. Like it's not been good for him either.
No. And I mean, you know, that's, you know, sometimes things are uncomfortable and that happens. But you know, it's just, it seems like one of those things like, man, this year really sucks.
Yeah. A's as a collective team can't catch a break. And then they of course had to go to New York where they are currently. They just lost their second game in a row to the Yankees.
Yeah, I don't know how good the Yankees are overall, but they're a sight better than us right now.
Seems like we woke up Aaron Hicks, who's been doing absolutely nothing all year, getting booed by his own fans.
Yeah, did you see he homered and they booed him while he was rounding the bases?
It was his first hit all year at Yankee Stadium.
New York is brutal, man.
But yeah, dude, imagine if the Yankees fans were dealing with the season the A's were having.
Yeah, like what if Fuji was pitching for the Yankees right now?
He'd be getting tomatoed.
Yeah, I mean, somebody would have doxed him by now, and you know there would be riots in front of his house. But anyway, Yankees beat us. First game was 7-2.
Today
wasn't very close, honestly. Today was more interesting.
It was interesting. We had a text message from Tanner during this game. I was busy. But it made me at least pull the game back up and think, oh, did we somehow miraculously come back and win?
I was also very excited when I first saw it.
And it's like, no, but Jordan Diaz did hit 3 home runs. Pretty cool. At this point in the season, if you're going to ask me, oh, would you rather the A's win or one of their new top prospects hit 3 home runs? Not an easy choice.
No, it's not. It's really not. Because we're getting to the point where, like, what does one win even mean?
I'll take some small
like what is,
small non-victory victories, you know?
Yeah, like, would I rather have a group of, like, semi-effective veterans bumble their way to a victory? Or, like, one of the young dudes show signs of potential stardom?
Tremendous strength.
And, yeah, he joined Mickey Cochrane and Mark McGwire as the only Oakland rookies to ever hit 3 home runs in a game. And I don't think I need to tell you that's good company.
Yeah, he's clearly going to go on to be a Hall of Famer at this point.
Yeah, and also probably going to hit at least 49 dingers this year. You know?
That's right. He's up to 4.
Mark McGwire did.
Worth mentioning that every ball he hit today looked tattooed. Like, they didn't exactly go super far. At least, I don't know, one of them grazed the wall, definitely. Yeah. But off the bat, they look like home runs.
He's got a really nice swing.
The ball is jumping off his bat today.
And I overall, I you know, like I use this to piggyback to a different point. I have literally no complaints about the offense at all anymore.
Not really. I mean, in a season like this, I feel like we're getting all that we could really ask for. We're getting to see dudes like Blade and Noda and Rooker and Ruiz show out, Langoliers. Now Diaz. If we can just get Jace Peterson out of the lineup.
But, I mean, even so, like, the lineup today was Ruiz, Noda, Rooker, Blade, Langoliers, Kemp, Diaz, Peterson. No, Diaz, Peterson came in.
Nope,
yeah, no, Peterson, right. Peterson, Nick Allen. With a... I mean, it may take a very like, but with a good pitching staff, that's a good lineup.
That could be okay. The only names I'm truly not that excited to at least see at all, I guess I'd say, is like Jace Peterson right now.
Yeah, because I still believe in Nick Allen, and Tony Kemp is hitting 182, but we have all seen enough of Tony Kemp to know that Tony Kemp is not a 182 hitter. You know, like he's fighting it a little bit. But it's a good year to be fighting it. Who cares?
Yep.
You know, like
he's fighting the good A's fight,
and we love Tony Kemp. Tony Kemp could never do anything to make me not love him. That maybe that's not true, but you know, it's going to take a lot more than not hitting very well for me to not love Tony Kemp. I'll say that much.
So here we are. Are now 8-29. So it just keeps getting better, that folks.
So bad.
Just keeps getting better. Dan, do you have any moments of the week in A's land?
Do I have any moments of the week? I do. I would say pretty much like the whole offense has, you know, like they've looked pretty good, which is exciting to me. But more specifically, Estuary Ruiz was essentially the centerpiece of the heavily maligned Sean Murphy deal. Which, I mean, obviously Sean Murphy is all of a sudden Johnny Bench.
But we've always kind of
known knew that. Sean Murphy was good. So the argument was like essentially he has got nothing back for Sean Murphy. And that's turning out to not be true. You know, I mean, Kyle Muller, as you said, maybe isn't striking out as many people as we would like. But the stuff looks fine. I am not convinced that Kyle Muller like sucks.
I fully believe he could be a serviceable starting pitcher.
Yeah, and I am still excited about Freddie Tarnock whenever we may see him.
Yes.
And then we got this guy.
He is leading the league in three categories at the moment: games played, stolen bases, and hit by pitch.
And he got a slow start.
He did.
To the base in the base stealing category. So I mean, if he had been running at the rate he's been running for the last 20 games all year, he'd probably have 25 bags by now. You know, I mean, he's fairly easily stealing multiple bags in a game now. I mean, it seems like he has really settled in to kind of a comfort zone, and he is trouble whenever he's on base. And you combine him with some of the other dudes, like especially if Ryan Noda really like gets a stranglehold on that number two hole.
Oh yeah.
Then we're talking.
And Noda's the kind of guy, he looks like he's got the bat control to just flip it down the line.
If everything holds and works out, there is a world where we have a top four of Ruiz, Noda, Rooker, Blade. Which is right left, everybody playing pretty well. Mm-hmm. All different, all good. You know.
I would love to see that.
And then obviously Langoliers. We still have Laureano and Langoliers and, you know, anybody else who might decide to start crushing the ball.
Don't forget about Carlos Perez.
Carlos Perez. By batting average, the best backup catcher in the league right now.
But yeah, Ruiz is holding his own. He's got a 101 OPS plus, leads the league in stolen bases. I mean, really the only glaring thing I'm seeing is 27 strikeouts to 4 walks.
Yeah, which is
work
not
on
great.
That a little bit.
But he's young. He's doing a lot well.
He's putting up a very cocoa crisp type season right
yeah.
now.
Yeah, and you know he's 24. Like he, you know, the plate discipline is not terrible. You know, I mean he's not flailing up there. And as you get more experience, as you see more pitches, you get better at taking them. And I think you know if
if the coaching is good in Oakland, they will start telling him, like, yo, you just need to get on base. Like, right. You know, like, focus a lot on making sure your OBP is, like, 350. Because
please.
Your most valuable asset is your speed. Yeah. You know? So, I love it. Love it. Love Estre Ruiz.
And Tony Kemp, I heard today Dallas say he's, like, Tony Kemp's, like, number 4 in baseball over the past couple of years in terms of just putting the ball in play. So, like, learn from Tony Kemp a little bit, Ruiz. Yeah. Like, if you just put the ball in play, man, you're going to get on base so much.
Yeah, call him Mr. Infield Single.
Yeah. So, I have a very similar moment. Not really a particular moment, just the debut week of J.J. Bleday. Could not have gone any better.
We love to see it.
He just looks phenomenal so far. Every ball he hits, he's lasering it somewhere. Line drives. Two of them have left the building. 364 average, 391 on base, 1.073 OPS. Good for a 200 OPS plus. That, ladies and gentlemen, is 2 times better than the league? No. Yeah. Is that how you say that?
Yeah, twice as good. Okay. Twice as good as your average hitter. He
but I feel like it's better than that.
It's the best it's the best debut since Brent Rooker. Who is, we're not going to, you know, if we were going to talk about the real high point of every week, the last month has just been Brent Rooker. And that is continuing. Brent Rooker is continuing to crush the wall. But, you know, I mean, Brent Rooker. Just.
He now has the bold and italicized OPS plus that we've been waiting on.
Oh, my
God. The official league leader. The best hitter in all of baseball. How can you not, how can you look at these numbers and interpret it any other way?
Yeah. And I mean, this is one of those things, like, it's, he's hitting 319, and that does not even begin to paint the picture of how dominant he's been.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's, the batting average is, if anything, not representative at all of how much he's been crushing the ball.
And 19 walks to go with it.
Yeah. I mean, there is a fair amount of strikeout to his game, but he also walks a lot. You know?
Why did I feel like he has like 13 home runs already? The fact that he still only has 10 is just baffling me right now.
But I mean, we just got to give him time.
He hasn't hit one for like 3 days. What's going on?
I know. And it's crazy how your expectations change, because there have been a couple games this year where he's, you know, like 2 for 3 with 3 runs scored and a couple RBIs. And I look and I'm like, he didn't hit a homer. What? Like, what is he doing?
Well, there was that week when he won Player of the Week, and it was just like every day.
Yeah.
Like, well, you know the A's aren't going to win, but oh, look at that. Another home run by Rooker.
So,
we got some pretty legit-looking rookies.
Yeah, his arbitration price is skyrocketing.
J.J. Bleday, he can play. Brent Rooker, he can rake. Jordan Diaz. He's got the homer hammer.
Best A's rookie since Mark McGwire.
So, there's some pieces here, and if the A's could just freaking pitch, they might actually run into a couple victories, maybe even like more than 2 in a week.
Yeah, man. I mean, as we have said on here before, for sure, the offense isn't the problem. There are problems. There are myriad problems. Very few of them exist on offense. So
getting into the problems, I think probably biggest catastrophe on the field so far, possibly, is this Mason Miller injury that's going down.
Oh, my God.
I think, without a doubt, Mason Miller is the most electric arm the A's have brought up since Rich Harden. I'm not sure who Frankie Montas, maybe. But Montas did not have this immediate success like Harden or Miller have had so far.
Sonny Gray is pretty good.
Sonny Gray, that's a good.
But he didn't throw that. He doesn't throw this hard.
He didn't quite throw that hard. But yeah, so Mason Miller had to get an MRI. Came back as clean as can be, supposedly. No structural damage. God, but as so Dan much. And I have lamented, how many times have we heard forearm tightness or, you know, no structural damage, just needs to take a couple weeks off. And it just turns into Tommy John surgery like 75% of the time. So just everybody hold your breath, cross your fingers, cross your toes that Mason Miller is going to be okay and be pitching again soon. because that is absolutely the most fun I've had all year, is just watching that guy pitch.
Yes.
And Brent Rooker hit bombs.
Yes.
So, yep, crossing our fingers for that. And then another little news update in the land of bad A's news. This one's a little bit more complicated. But the A's, shocker, seem to have already walked back on their legally supposedly binding agreement to buy land in Las Vegas. They've now identified a different and much smaller parcel of land that they are apparently going after. What did you say it was? 9 acres?
9 acres.
Which is, like, hardly enough to put a nice countryside house on.
I'm not even sure if it will fit. I'm having a hard time at least believing that it'll fit a baseball field.
Baseball field and a parking lot.
Like, what? We were talking about this a little bit before I started recording. I almost don't even want to invest too much brain power in anything Dave Cavill says at this point, because it's like it's nonsense. You know, I mean, it seems like they got what, like 400? I think 400 million from Oakland. Oakland was willing to pony up 400 million.
It was like high 300s.
And Fisher gave Oakland the middle finger and walked over to Vegas and said, "I will bring you a baseball team if you give me $500 million. And Vegas seemingly said, "We'll give you nothing. We'll give you no money. How about that?" And he said, "Okay, what about $395 million? Which, for those playing the home game, is less money than the city of Oakland offered them. And it seems like Vegas is still not interested. You know, like, they just don't want to go to prom with you, dude. Like, I don't care how many different ways you ask. They're not, and you're kinda, they're looking bad.
Yeah.
This is ugly. This is not ugly in terms of, like, it's weird that this is our team that this is happening with. And it's kind of like, you know, you just, like, in The Art of War, Sun Tzu says, don't interrupt your enemy while they're making a mistake. And so it seems like the best course of action is just to let John Fisher keep doing whatever he thinks is right. Because I think I read today they have like 28 more days in like the government year,
right,
in Las Vegas or whatever. And they have to vote on all this stuff. They would have to vote on a bunch of stuff to get this passed. And a tweet that I read today said, like, the general consensus is they need to have a deal by this week if it's going to happen. And it seems like they're going to be back at the negotiating table in Oakland at least at some point. I don't know if that means that they stay in Oakland, but they were talking all big a couple weeks ago about how Oakland was off the table and not even really a good option anymore, and they had this great plan in Vegas. Turns out they do not at all. They have seemingly no plan at all. So, and, you know, I mean, they reached another agreement at the, you know, whatever, at the Tropicana site. Well, they had reached a binding agreement at a different site that is not happening at all.
Definitely not binding.
So it must not have been that binding, because it completely disintegrated. So he needs to sell the team.
Yeah.
He's always needed to sell the team. Like, that's always been true. And now it is becoming seemingly a problem for the image of Major League Baseball.
It feels like the dude is bound to lose money at this point if he doesn't sell the team.
Yeah.
Like, what option is he going to have? So I'd say, you know, all A's fans, keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
Keep being mean to John Fisher and Dave Cavill on Twitter.
Absolutely.
But, like, you know, not illegally mean. Just mean.
No.
And, you know, point out the facts that we want Fisher out. We want him to sell the team. We want the A's to stay in Oakland and win baseball games. What a crazy thought.
Yeah, I mean, we just want to get back to business.
That's right. We want to get back to where Steph Curry so badly wanted to be.
Yeah, that's transitioning into the moments of the week. That's one of my moments of the week. There's a clip of Steph Curry being interviewed at an A's playoff game.
2012.
And he says to the reporter, "My hope is that one day the arena that I play in will be as loud as the Oakland Coliseum is during the playoffs." So that's Steph Curry, one of the best basketball players of all time, the centerpiece of one of the most successful basketball teams in NBA history, saying that Oakland baseball fans are legit.
That's right.
You know,
he wishes Warriors fans were half as cool.
And I mean,
there's an overlapping population.
Warriors fans have caught up a little bit, but I mean, this narrative that people don't come to baseball games in Oakland is crazy. You know, and it's not like prevalent, but it's out there. You know, I mean, like, of course the A's would move to Vegas. Nobody goes to games in Oakland. It's like, well, that's not true. Nobody's going to games in Oakland right now. Because why would you?
It's a freaking dumb.
If you went to a movie and the movie sucked, would you buy another ticket for the movie? Like, no, especially not if your movie theater seat fell apart while you were sitting in it. Or if the, you know, I mean, it's just, it's a crazy way. There was a period of time where it was very embarrassing as a fan. And now, I mean, it's still, I mean, obviously it's not great, but it just seems like an untenable way to run a business, you know, be it a baseball team or anything else. So it seems like, in my head, the only logical end of the story is that John Fisher doesn't own the A's anymore, because he seems to have shown that he's incapable of doing it. So
I hope it goes that direction. Before we get too off of the A's here in conversation, let's do our quick A's great look back. I'm showing Dan a baseball reference of an Oakland great. It is a pitcher who debuted in 69.
This is very topical and also very sad.
Yeah.
Vida.
It's Vida Blue. RIP Vida Blue passed away this week. Another rough moment in the A's season.
I think I read somewhere. I will double check this and follow up on this next podcast. But I believe he's the only pitcher in MLB history to win a Cy Young and MVP and 200 games.
I wouldn't be surprised. It's also, I don't know if he technically was a rookie in 71, but he basically was.
And man, he was really good.
So like, he could have easily...
Year 71, that is bananas.
There's some very interesting stuff jumping out of me here. I see he led the league in losses in 77 when he was one of his all-star campaigns, 3 of 6. Still pitched fine. It's clearly just, I think that was a bad A's team.
Yeah. Seems like there's, you know, he's,
man, he look at these pitch innings well. Pitched, man. Over 300 innings pitched in 71. Consistently high 200s. Just don't see that anymore.
Yeah, over 312 innings in 1971, led the league with 6 hits per 9. That is low.
Man, who?
And led the league in strikeouts per 9. Like, this dude. this dude was a stud.
Who struck out more than he did?
And also, you know, all like the narratives from everyone involved with the team said, like, you know, as good as he was as a baseball player, he was a better person, better teammate.
Yep.
You know.
Yeah, I've seen so many stories about how great of a guy he was.
And Dave Stewart has unequivocally said a number of times, like, he showed me everything. You know, he showed me how to be a major leaguer. And, you know, Dave Stewart's no slouch himself. So just a sad time. Just a sad time. We love Vida.
The one that sticks out in my memory is, I believe someone said he was given like a gas card, and every time he'd go fill up his car, he would just fill up everybody's gas at the gas station.
That is just a very, seems like a great, great guy. Yeah, Mickey Lolich.
Huh? So yeah, to strike out 301 and not be the league leader, that's what I was trying to find. Mickey Lolich struck out 308 for the Tigers.
376 innings?
376. Holy cow.
Man, the 70s were a wild time. It's a bad time to be a pitcher's arm.
he led the league in wins and hits allowed.
I mean, simply as a function of the number of innings he pitched, started, I'm not surprised.
45 games. What kind of a rotation were they on?
29 complete games in 45. That's got to be, what, a four-man rotation?
Yeah, I guess so. And interestingly enough, Sal
Bain, maybe like a somewhere between three and four, because it's not even exactly four.
I would agree.
Because what, 45 times four is what, 180?
Yeah.
So four, sometimes three?
Probably just whenever they needed it.
They probably just started Mickey Lolich back-to-back games sometimes, you know? Dude, it's like college ball when you need a guy to pitch twice in a weekend sometimes.
And if not for Vida Blue that year, Sal Bando would have won the MVP. He came in second.
Man, the A's team up in heaven is getting pretty legit.
Did Sal Bando ever come closer? No. Damn, he was good.
He was very, very good. But, and you know, I think the thing about this team is, like, the individual awards obviously are cool, but, I mean, they were the best team in baseball for
a while.
A while. So, let's get back there. Sell the team, John Fisher.
That's right. So, my coolest thing I saw in baseball this week was really just, like, funniest / weirdest thing I saw. I really got to give credit to Dan, because Dan sent me this via text message, but was it yesterday? Akil Baddoo on the Tigers was trying to steal second base against who? Mariners?
No.
Doesn't really matter.
Because it was the Guardians.
The Guardians. And great throw. Perfectly placed. nailed Baddoo right in the groin / cup / wiener station, whatever you want to call it.
Right in the stones, dude. Right.
Managed to hit him before he had gotten to second base, miraculously ricochet off directly into the infielder's glove as they tagged him out right before he touched second base.
And the ump emphatically called him out.
Oh, yeah. And so the first time I watched this, all I'm seeing is the dude get hit in the groin.
Totally.
And then the second time, I'm like, oh my gosh, the ump called him out. Oh my gosh, he was out.
And it was the most noteworthy part of the play is that he took one in the crotch. But it was a very good play by Andrés Giménez. Like, it is incredible that he caught the ball off the ricochet and tagged him. I mean, the hand-eye coordination on Giménez is wild. And also the fact that he didn't bust up laughing. He
calculated the angle off the man's cup into his glove.
It is very high-level defense. That's your defensive war goes up for that, for sure. You know, that's a run saved.
They've had a hard time capturing that stuff on the back of the baseball card till lately.
Right.
Now we've got the advanced statistics for it.
So definitely a low point for Akil Baddoo, but a high point in terms of stuff that we laughed about on his podcast.
It's been all downhill for him ever since his
he was on coming fire. Out campaign. Yeah, he was crazy. And now, yeah, it's gotten so bad he's getting disrespected. But fantasy time?
Fantasy.
Dude, we're double fantasy facing off.
We are.
We're doing this on the podcast, Fantasy Face Off, and we're actually playing each other in our fantasy league.
That's right.
And Corey's winning so far.
So far. But we shall see. I'm in a little bit of a rut. Dan is currently in second place in the league. I'm in sixth out of 10. And as we speak, I'm winning our weekly matchup 175 to 109. But the final projection is still pretty close. So we'll see how that goes. But in our little one-off weekly fantasy matchup, I went with Fernando Tatis Jr., who got 60.3 points for me, and Mason Miller, who got 17.9 in his one start last week. Dan had Clayton Kershaw, who maybe had his first dud of a game all year, worth 6.1 points. And Kyle Tucker, who did great, but came up short for him overall, 39.3 points. So I took home the gold for the week.
And also, it's just great to have Tatis back.
it's nice to have Tatis back, and man, he's already off to a great start, so that's great to see.
Yeah, I went to a Padres game on Saturday. My wonderful girlfriend, Katie, got her master's, because she graduated on Friday, so congratulations. Ooh, Katie. Okay. And that was down in San Diego, so while we were down in San Diego, we went to the Padres-Dodgers game. And it was Dustin May versus Blake Snell, and it was legit. It was a good game. It was 2-1. Dodgers won 2-1. Blake Snell really won bad. He gave up a 2-run homer to Chris Taylor, and other than that, he was locked in. And bottom of the ninth with two outs, Trent Grisham was up with a guy on second and smoked a ball probably 10 feet foul down the right field line. Oof. But it would have won the game, and it would have been crazy. And Petco's just beautiful, man. Petco's such a fun park.
I'm sure the fans almost erupted.
Absolutely. There was a lot of Dodger fans, and there was no love lost.
Makes me think of that like famous gif of the Padres fan flipping off all the Dodgers fans.
Yes, totally. But yeah, so that was fun too.
I have a Padres game scheduled for early June, I believe, so looking forward to that.
And yeah.
Are you going to that?
No. Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe?
Yes.
Possibly. Anywho, for our next week fantasy picks, I'm going with Hunter Green and Tairo Estrada, who is crushing it for the Giants lately.
And I am going with Mr. Pablo Lopez, who is a guy like the ace for the Twins right now. He's having a great year.
I think Sonny Gray's actually...
Is he pitching really well, too? I have Pablo Lopez on one of my fantasy teams.
Maybe not by much.
And he's dealing. I'm going to go with Pablo Lopez and Ryan Noda.
Ryan Noda. Ooh.
So.
We stay in Ryan Noda.
Yeah. I getting to the point where you can start using some A's for fantasy purposes, which is encouraging.
Don't use any A's pitchers.
No. But the hitters are a pretty good bet, honestly. Oh, and also wanted to mention that Shohei Ohtani passed Babe Ruth in strikeouts.
That's right.
Which is pretty impressive.
Pretty soon, there's not going to be any more hitter-pitcher records left for him to break.
It's going to be all him. And also, did you read that article about how they're like trying to project how much his contract is going to be?
Yeah.
And they landed on like $534 or something.
Yeah, it's going to be so crazy expensive that virtually no team can possibly afford it.
Yeah.
And manage to play. Like,
which makes me wonder if he's even going to demand it. Because remember he came over, he took like, what, $2 million to come over early?
Yeah.
Instead of staying until he was allowed to be posted and get the fat contract that he was initially supposed to have. So I wouldn't be surprised if he's like, I'll take $200 million. You know, like, I don't, you know, I'm tired of being on a terrible team. So I'll take less money to be on a good team.
I definitely wouldn't be surprised if he took less money to leave the Angels than to stay.
Well, and he has taken less money before. So that goes one of two ways. He either took less money initially because he knew he was going to get a ton of money at some point, or it's just he's already rich. He knows he's going to be rich. He doesn't need... Because I don't know how smart it is as an individual to sign such a fat contract that you, like, hamstring your team financially.
Doesn't seem like a good move.
You know, like, do you sign a $550 million deal and lose all the time? Or sign a $300 million deal and win. Or at least give the front office a better chance to win. And so I wouldn't be surprised if that happens. You know? And I know that there are people out there. And I bet you, I mean, obviously he has an agent. And his agent is probably like, no, we're getting as much money as we possibly can.
You're getting $1 billion.
Yeah. So yeah, it's, you know, here we were talking about, we didn't know what we were going to be able to talk about. And here we are. We've been talking for a while. We
talked for almost 45 minutes again. So the baseball season marches on. The A's get to play the Yankees bright and early tomorrow.
Yep.
Do love a nice morning game.
Me too.
And we will see how that goes. After the Yankees... Oh, my computer's failing me and I no longer know what I was going to say. After the Yankees, the A's get to just keep on trucking.
Yeah, I mean, it's... It hasn't been great, and if they're going to make the playoffs, it's going to be crazy.
Okay, it's the Rangers. The path to the playoffs starts tomorrow versus the Rangers. You heard it here first.
Friday.
Friday.
But the path to the playoffs starts tomorrow against the Yankees, actually.
All right.
We avoid the sweep. We avoid the sweep tomorrow morning, and then the march begins.
Then we never lose again.
So I don't know if that's going to happen, but here's to hoping. We are not mathematically eliminated from the playoffs yet. And until that moment, I firmly believe that they have a chance to make the playoffs. So
I feel the same way about being eliminated from Oakland.
Yeah, well, and I to be fair, at this point, have more faith in the A's staying in Oakland than A's making the playoffs this year.
That's fair. I would agree with that.
But both are non-zero possibilities. They could win 30 games in a row.
They could. They could set the freaking record.
They could. They had it for a long time, and then the Guardians took it away.
Let's take it back. That should be our number one goal.
Yeah, win.
Take that record back
this year, right now, starting tomorrow.
Moneyball 2.
Yeah. So going for 23 wins, and tomorrow is number one.
All right, folks. Enjoy the ride.
And yeah, we will we'll talk to you in about a week.
Go A's.
Go A's. Bye.